Right. I think I'm going. I am. Okay, so yeah, Micah 6:8. I've got it from the Amplified Bible here. It says, "He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to love kindness and mercy and to humble yourself and walk humbly with your God." So let's have a look at good, eh? What is good? If you're in business selling lots of products, good would be what? Good customer service, which means helping customers efficiently in a friendly manner. It's essential to be able to handle issues for customers and do your best to ensure that they are satisfied providing good services. It's one of the most important things that can differentiate your business from your competitors. So if you've got a good customer service, you're going to show up a lot better than someone that hasn't. Okay? That's the worldly view, basically, of good. You know, because a lot of the time it's about business, about how you relate to other people. In Christianity, the gospel, actually, it's really interesting. The old English for gospel is Godspell, okay, or good news, which is the news of the coming of the kingdom of God. When we talked about the kingdom of God, it's here. It's not a place; it's here. Okay, Mark 1:14-15. Jesus announces the good news. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Okay. So what else did Micah say? And what does the Lord require of you? Micah is appealing to Christians of the future to forge the bond between their inner principles and their outer conduct. So I'll say that slowly. Your inner principles, so they're the principles that you have in your heart and that were within you, and they should reflect in your outward conduct. So that's how you relate to people. Okay, so some people might say, okay, he said that in Jerusalem, which he did, but you can also say that he was foretelling us. He was a prophet, remember? So basically it means, in a few words, practice what you preach. All right? Inner principles, outer conduct. You know? You know, if you come to church and you're really good and you're humble and you're loving and you're non-confrontational at church, and then halfway during the week you turn to something else, it's not quite working. All right? So what we are here, we should be here every day. I mean, Sunday shouldn't be the time that you're thinking about the Lord and being godly. You should be doing that 7 days a week. This is the time when we come together as a group and we fellowship and we're together and we share, like we did before, what happened during the week or what happened before and how God's worked in our lives. So, and also to learn things. So we're all on the same page. All right. So what was the good news that Jesus brought? He said, "If I don't go, the Comforter won't come. However, I am telling you the truth. It's good for you that I'm going away. If I don't go away, the Helper won't come. But if I go, I will send him to you." Okay. And John 16:7. Just John 16:7. I have the New International Version here. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. All right. So it was important that he left. Okay, and an advocate is probably the best interpretation. Some say comforter. There's various versions. Okay. Well, I like advocate because the dictionary version of advocate is the role of an advocate is to offer independent support to those who feel they are not being heard and to ensure that they are taken seriously and their rights are respected. It is also to assist people to assess and understand appropriate information and services. So that's what an advocate, someone who stands in your place and defends you. That's what an advocate is. So that's why I like the word advocate. But imagine how they felt on the day. I mean, they spend every day with Jesus, you know. So, and remember what the day was like. I think I've done this before with you. You know, I used to teach social studies. So in social studies, when you're teaching social studies, you've got to get the students to put themselves in the shoes of the person and the place and the time. Okay. So if you put yourself in the place and the time where Jesus was saying this, there was no TV, no cell phones, cars, tar-sealed roads, you walked everywhere, it was hot and dusty. There was wind, and it took a long time to get from A to B, you know. So if you kind of, you know, when you hear all these scriptures and all the letters in the New Testament, put yourself in their shoes, you know. I don't know why I put this in here, but it's an interesting experience I had. I've had this a few times, that the different way we live. I used to work in Martin as the property controller for an alcohol and drug centre. So my job was when the residents, and he was up to about 60, when they weren't in therapy, I had them in works. So I organised all the works for them. And one day I was leaving my place, which was the other end of town, and there was a little old lady walking along with a shopping basket on a trolley, and she was obviously off to the supermarket. So I hopped in my car and I saw her walking past my place, and I shut off to work. And I did some stuff there, and then I thought, oh, I've got to go and check out a job I'm doing. So I shot over to the other side of town and checked out the job, and then I did some stuff there, and then I came back to work and did some stuff there, and I thought, oh, I'll go home for lunch. And I shot home to lunch, and the little old lady was then walking back home. So it suddenly occurred to me how different our lives are, you know. We live very busy lives. I mean, in the time that she walked up the road and did her shopping and came back, I'd done all that stuff, you know, and we do that. And even now, I still do that sometimes and think, you know, we do a lot of stuff in a very short time. I guess that's good. Okay. Anyway, get back to the point. Anyway, when they heard Jesus say that he had to leave, imagine the shock. You know, they'd spent all this time with this man, you know, I'm not sure if they knew he was the Son of God then, but they spent all this time with this man who was saying all this good stuff, you know, stuff that was changing people's lives and watching all these miracles, you know, like the fishes and the bread thing. I mean, come on. You'd want to be with a man like that all the time, wouldn't you? Anyway, he was talking about the helper was going to come. Okay, it's difficult for us today to fully relate to their situation because as Christians, we now have this helper, the Holy Spirit, within us. We, you know, but put put yourself in the position before that happens. You know, and imagine if you met a person who was absolutely magnetic. You wouldn't want to leave that person, you know. I mean, imagine being there when he raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. Pretty amazing, especially in those days. I mean, think about it. You know, Mark 5:22-43. Don't know if we'll go that far. But anyway, it says, then one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now, this is a leader of the synagogue. I think he must have recognized who Jesus was, maybe. You've got to read around a lot of these letters that they were sent. You've got to read around the history and what's actually happening. He pleaded earnestly with him, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So he knew what was going to happen if Jesus went there. You know? And this was a leader in the synagogue. So Jesus went and healed her. Wouldn't you like to be around a man like that? But won't it be even better if you became like that man? And that's where we're going. You know, God is moulding us. You know, it's Christ in us. Okay, so that was the real point. Once Jesus paid for our sins on the cross and then ascended to the Father, he could Once Jesus paid for our sins on the cross and then ascended to the Father, he could send to each of us the person of the Holy Spirit. All right. Next week we're going to look at that, the person of the Holy Spirit. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, we're not talking about a feeling or a power or something that is just happens. The Holy Spirit is a person, part of the Trinity. I'll prove that next week. Okay, it is one thing to have Jesus in the boat during a storm, but quite another to have Jesus as part of your being during one of life's storms. All right. I mean, you guys have both experienced from what you said. I think I picked up a bit of what you said. That you've been through storms in your life. We've all been through storms. I mean, if I told you some of the storms of my life, you'd think, why is he standing here? You know, I'm standing here because God's put me here. And in the end, I gave up and submitted to the Lord instead of trying to do it by myself. Now, it takes a while to actually get to that place. And it's not easy. It's scary at times, you know. I mean, I was almost panicking because my computer wouldn't start. And I had to, you know, all the stuff's not in here. It's on here. You know. But I probably could have done something. So this is the good news that Micah prophesied. Okay. So what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly and to love kindness and mercy, and to humble yourselves, to walk humbly with your God. All right? Now, don't get humbly wrong. Humbly isn't kind of becoming like crawling under a mat. You can hold your head up high and walk humbly. You know, don't ever think that humbly is you're less than anyone else. You can still be a very powerful person and be humble. All right? Okay, next week I'm going to share about the walking of the Spirit of God. One of the highest commendations in the Bible is found in these words about Noah, Genesis 6:9. I've got it in the Amplified Bible again. I use the Amplified Bible because it teases out the words. All right. So these are the records of the generations, family history of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, one who was just and had right standing with God, blameless in his evil generation. Noah walked, lived in habitual fellowship with God. Actually, it's really interesting. When I read this, I kind of smiled a little because I got that word habitual. Now, as an A&D counsellor, we work with people with addictions. And addictions has three stages. This is a little bit off the point, but just what struck me when I saw the word habitual. What happens when people get into addiction is it's in three stages. It's experimental, habitual, and addiction. So what happens is people experiment with different types of drugs. Now, addiction's interesting because it's not just about drugs, it's about anything. You can be addicted to sport, you can be addicted to church. But when an addiction is a dysfunction, all right, so what, it's in those three areas. So what happens is people experiment, then it becomes habitual, becomes habit-forming, and then they do it so long that their body becomes reliant on it and they become addicted. So I thought to myself, maybe they should have put addicted. No, I walked in addictive fellowship with God. But probably not, because addiction is a bad thing. Anyway, just a thought. 2 Colossians 6:10. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin. Having been deeply rooted in him and now being continually built up in him and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, and overflowing in it with gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception or pseudo-intellectual babble, according to the tradition and musings of mere men, following the elementary principles of the world rather than following the truth, the teachings of Christ. For in him all the fullness of deity, the Godhead, dwells in bodily form, completely expressing the divine essence of God. And in him you have been made complete, achieving spiritual stature through Christ, and he is the head over all rule and authority of every angelic and earthly power. So if you actually got that verse, 2 Colossians 6:10, see how the Amplified teases it out? It uses a lot more words to explain what it's talking about. So the whole thing is about good. The good news is what it's all about. All right. And the good news is that the Holy Spirit dwells in us now. We're part of the kingdom. And when we're stuck, we call on the Holy Spirit. Well, we call on God and Jesus through the Holy Spirit. I went through a time in my life when I was praying lots and lots and lots and lots. And I was always saying, thank you, God, Father God, da-da-da-da, Father God, thank you, Jesus, da-da-da-da. And then after a while I thought, we always miss out on the Holy Spirit. Poor old Holy Spirit gets missed out all the time. Yet the Holy Spirit does all the work. So then I started saying, thank you, Father, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Holy Spirit. Don't ever forget what the Holy Spirit does. You're here because the Holy Spirit drew you to this place or drew you to the people. And that happened through prayer. People prayed for you. I guarantee if you had a magic eye, you could look into something and you'll find that someone has prayed for you. That's why you're sitting here. All right? And then the Holy Spirit comes in and works on you. All right? So our power is very, very strong when we pray. Don't ever think it's not. And when you pray, pray as if you mean it. Pray, it doesn't have to be long, eloquent prayers. This is all to do with the good news, you know, the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So that's me. All right, so let's pray. Father, Father, thank you for this word. It was short, Father, but powerful. Lord, work with us. Let that Holy Spirit work in us. Holy Spirit, come work in us all the time. Work through our soul. Work in our spirit, Father. Jesus, thank you for what you did, because if you didn't do what you did, we would not be sitting here. We'd still be under law. Bless you, Father. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for the word. Thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us once again. For those that are new, our